Hi, my name is Mark Shiver. Welcome to Fueled by Grace. So glad to have you listening to the podcast. We are back and we are going to be better than ever because God has filled us with exciting insight and revelation. We're going to share it with you, and we know that if you will listen and believe what God is saying, that your life will be changed. And what is God saying? He's saying that he loves you. He loves you very, very much. He loves you deeply. He loves you passionately. He loves you unconditionally. So believe that, and that will change your life. That is the number one goal and mission of Fueled by Grace, that you are encouraged in the reality of the love of God. The Bible says nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want you to know that and remember that and believe that, because it is true. Being reminded of the good news of the gospel can make all the difference in the world, and that's why Fueled by Grace is here. Our mission is to share with you and encourage you in the never-ending, dynamic, steadfast, unconditional love of God. God loves you so very, very much. The Bible says that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Have you done this lately? Take your finger, poke yourself in the chest, and say, God loves me. God loves me. Isn't that awesome? Start doing that on a regular basis. I promise you, it will change your life. Now, right out of the gate here, we're going to just jump in to the latest thing that God has given us to talk about, and it's powerful. And we've been away for a while. We've been doing other things, but God has clearly said it's time to get back and pick the podcast up and share these things that I have given you. And so out of obedience to the Lord, we're back and we're going to share with you right from the start today about peace. You see, a lot of people are downcast, downtrodden, depressed, anxious, fearful. They're lacking peace. And isn't it a shame for Christians, for believers who have this hope of eternal life to be walking around anxious and worrying and fearful? Well, God has made a way for you and I to walk in peace. And I want to give you kind of a progression on how you can walk in peace. I promise you, if you'll listen to this podcast, maybe listen to it more than once, and really absorb what God is saying through these words, I guarantee you, you will begin to have a greater measure of peace in your life. Now, step one, okay, I've never been a steps teacher, but step one is going to Isaiah chapter 53. Now, we all know this is the great picture that Isaiah gave of all the horror that Jesus went through before he was crucified. And we're going to be in Isaiah 53 for the next several podcasts. And today, we're going to focus in on one particular verse. But let's start with verse 3 and read about Jesus. It says, he was despised and rejected by men. I read that slowly because I want the words to sink in. Jesus was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Can you imagine walking down the street and people hiding their faces from you? Well, it gets better. It says, he was despised and we did not esteem him. I want to stop right there for just a minute. Think about that word, despised. Do you even say that word in your daily life? I don't. We normally don't go around saying, I despise you. We don't usually feel that way about people, even people that we're kind of in a broken relationship with. We don't say, well, I despise him or her. And yet it says here in the Word of God that Jesus was despised. So I had to look that up, and it means held in great contempt. Jesus, the Son of God, the beloved, only begotten Son of our Heavenly Father, was despised. People held him in great contempt. We look at the cross, as we should, as Jesus being judged and taking all the sins of all the world, but we need to go back before the cross and realize he went through horror, terrible things. How would you like to be despised? To have someone you love say to you, I despise you. You see, Jesus came to die for the people he loved. And Isaiah says that he was despised. That breaks my heart. And I believe God is saying prophetically today that somebody listening to this podcast, you know who you are, has been feeling despised. You've been feeling rejected. You've been feeling like people don't care about you. And God wants you to know right now, today, as you're listening, that he loves you, that he does not despise you, that no matter what those around you in your life may think or say or do, you are loved by your heavenly Father. He cares about you. He thinks you're awesome. He gave his son to die for you. He loves you. He'll never, ever, ever fail you or forsake you. So today, look to God. Look to your heavenly Father and ask him to make his love for you real. And understand that you are not despised, but God loves you so very, very much. As we pick up Isaiah 53 and verse 4, it says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Now, I want to pull out one sentence. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. Do we even know what chastisement means? There's another word that I haven't said that word in, I don't know, ever maybe? Punished. It means punished. Jesus was punished so we could have peace. But understand this, my brother, my sister. Jesus was sinless. And yet the Bible says the chastisement for our peace was upon him. He took our punishment so that we could have peace. So, if you're going to take notes, step one, ponder, think about, meditate on this awesome reality that Jesus was punished so that we can have peace. Write it down like this. Jesus was punished so I can have peace. And understand that Jesus did nothing to deserve being punished. But he was. And you know what? He allowed himself to be punished. This is what is so awesome and what is often missing, sadly, in the church today is a focus on all that Jesus did for us. He allowed himself to be punished. Sometimes kids will say, well, my brother did it. Oh, my sister did it. You know, they'll try to get each other in trouble. And there's always a, no, I didn't. But Jesus, he didn't voice his own innocence. He didn't try to defend himself. He allowed himself to be treated so horribly so that we could have peace. Step one, ponder, think about, believe, meditate on the reality that Jesus himself allowed himself to be punished so that we can have peace. Step two is John chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus himself said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Oh, this is so awesome. Somebody listening to this needs to hear this. That Jesus gives you peace. He's not withholding peace from you. And so not only was he punished so that we could have peace, he goes a step further and gives us peace. That's so awesome. He's not withholding his peace from you. God is not the source of your despair. He's not the source of your discouragement. He's not the source of your anxiety. God is the source of your peace. He is your answer. He is your answer. So look to him today and begin to think about the things that he has done for you and the promises that he has made to you and receive them and believe them and begin to set your mind on him. I challenge you to take 30 seconds a day, maybe in the morning if you're having coffee or whatever, and just think about Jesus being punished so that you can have peace. Think about Jesus saying, I give you peace. Don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. I'm giving you my peace, my very own peace. Think about those things. And then step three is awesome because it's the how-to. You know, a lot of times we hear great teaching and insight, but sometimes the how-to is missing. Well, Paul the Apostle was so practical. In Philippians chapter 4, he says, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. Paul, that's easy for you to say. Paul says, well, wait a minute. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So rejoice in the Lord always. Are you rejoicing in the Lord? Or are you complaining? I would have to say, well, I'm a big complainer. And it's not good, and I'm really trying to work on that. If you focus on the things that you have that God has given you, I promise you that you will stop being as much of a complainer. So Paul knows this. He knew that, and he said, rejoice in the Lord. Always. He said, again, I say, rejoice. Well, I don't have anything to rejoice about. Yes, you do. You're alive. You get to see this amazing blue sky. You get to feel the change of the temperatures. You get to see the rain come down and water the earth and the plants responding and turning green and flowers beginning to grow. Oh, it's amazing. Be thankful for what you're allowed to see and hear and do. Be thankful that you have a place to live. Be thankful for your family. Be thankful for your church. Be thankful for your job. Be thankful for something. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And then Paul says, don't be anxious, but pray. Here is the key. Pray. Pray. Pray in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. The Bible says pray without ceasing. And if you look up the definition for supplication, it says the action of asking or begging for something earnestly or humbly. Ask God for peace. God, you know this test is coming along medically. God, I need peace. I'm anxious. Help me to have peace. Jesus, you said you gave me your peace, and I know that you did because you were punished, chastised, so that I could have peace. So now, Lord, I thank you for my peace. Folks, the challenge, and I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings here, but part of the reason we as Christians are anxious and weak is because we're not doing the very basic things that we need to do to grow. We're going through life more concerned about our jobs, more concerned about what's on Netflix, than we are about doing the very simplest things. That if we did them, we would grow. We would have more faith. We would have a relationship with God that's vibrant, where we hear Him speak and we're full of just joy and gladness and peace and hope. And yet, we're just expecting power, and we're not even plugging into the power source. Come on now. You know it's true. It's time to wake up, church. It's time, folks, to begin to do what the Apostle Paul says. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your requests be made known to God with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Be anxious for nothing. So those are your steps, and they will work, I promise you. If you apply them to your life. You know, we always, we leave church, we hear a nice message, and man, that's good preaching there, brother. Oh, I mean, I tell you, that's really good. And then we don't think about what the pastor or the teacher said ever again. But the Word of God is alive and it's active, and we need to think about it. We need to pray about it. We need to remember it. So I'm encouraging you today to don't just hit delete. But more than that, I hope you would say, wow, God spoke to me. I'm going to begin to pray and be thankful and not be anxious. I'm going to think about and ponder the fact that Jesus not only went to the cross for my sin, but before that, He was punished so that I can have peace. I'm going to think about and believe that Jesus says he gives me his peace. I have got peace coming at me from all directions. Folks, God loves you, and he wants you to experience joy and peace in this world. He doesn't want you to be downcast or downtrodden. So I encourage you today, in all sincerity, to do those three things. I'll repeat them again. Ponder what Jesus went through, being punished when he did not deserve to be, so that we could have peace. Believe that Jesus was telling the truth when he said, "My peace I give to you." Don't let your heart be troubled or afraid. And finally, put into practice what the Apostle Paul said. Rejoice, pray, let your requests be made known to God. Don't be anxious for anything, and be thankful. Be thankful. And finally, I'm going to give you the cherry on top of the whipped cream. This is the answer in verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is pure, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Paul tells them, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Practice these things. Practice these things. You will not learn how to hit a golf ball or a baseball without practice. And you will not learn how to walk in peace without practice. Paul says, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. And the key, the answer, the cherry on top of everything that I have said is found there in verse 8. Think about good things. We allow our minds to run wild. We allow our minds to think about things we shouldn't sometimes, or we allow our minds to worry and to run wild with what if, and what happens if, and what am I going to do if, and we're operating in kind of a reverse faith. It's called fear. Fear is faith in reverse. You're believing something bad's going to happen instead of believing for something good. And Paul is saying, set your mind on good things. And so, folks, today I encourage you to set your mind on the goodness of God. And remember and think about the fact that he loves you very, very much. And I promise you, if you begin to do the things that we've talked about today, you will have peace. Thanks so much for listening. God bless you.